Good morning.
Good morning.
We talk so much about the principles and the things that we believe in, and we've had a couple of really powerful demonstrations. Earlier in the week, we were talking about, you know, people that don't come much anymore. We haven't seen them in months, and some cases years, and it's too late in the week to get anything done this week, and I didn't know what to do about it. But we just set our intention to be a welcoming place to those that we haven't seen for a while, and that was it. There are four people here today that we haven't seen for a long, long time. We didn't even do anything, so thank you all for coming. And secondly, I don't know how this works. I really don't. I hand scratch out a little outline, and Jean's pretty tough on me. She wants it by Monday or Tuesday so she can get it in the newspaper. And sometimes it has no relation whatsoever to what I'm going to say on Sunday, but it's what my human mind comes up with on Monday or Tuesday. And then I send that to Jenna, and I send it to Jean, and come up with something to put in the paper. Every single week, Jenna comes up with music that is perfect for what I'm getting ready to say. I don't know how she does it. I don't know how it works, but she is gifted with something more than just the music. So thank you, Jenna. And that song was beautiful. That's a tough act to follow. Last week I talked about the thing itself, or God, Spirit, infinite intelligence, whatever name you choose to assign to the divine power. And then I talked about how our thoughts produce our reality. So today I'm going to take a look at how we can focus those thoughts and open up to the divine in order to have a deeper life experience. The title of my talk today is The Way It Works. And in case my voice doesn't make it for the whole talk, I'm going to give you the ending first, the takeaway, the thing I want you to walk away with. So you're going to get the Cliff Notes version first. The way we can do that is through the use of affirmations, by avoiding negative self-talk, and by being open to any expression of God. My opening story I have named Heaven Sent. A young mother by the name of Julie Van Rossum in Illinois had a daughter, 4 years old, little Ellie. One day Ellie was playing with some change and things on the counter while mom was busy working and cleaning and doing dishes and whatnot. And then Ellie said, "Oops, mommy, I swallowed it." And she looked over, and little Ellie had managed to swallow a penny. And mom, I didn't know what to do. And she says, "Ellie, you're old enough. You know that you shouldn't put little things like that in your mouth. But it just went down, mommy." So Julie didn't know for sure quite what to do. She called the doctor, and the doctor says, "Well, it's probably nothing, but I do have an opening this afternoon. Bring her on in. We'll take a look." And so the doctor poked little Ellie and prodded and felt her a little bit and decided that she'd be okay. And he said the directions were to just let nature take its course and to let the penny come out the other end on its own. So Julie thought that was okay. And next day came and no penny. Day after that came and no penny. Third day after that, no penny. Now Julie's starting to get worried, so she called the doc back, and the doc says, "Well, I'm sure it's okay. It's, you know, but if you really want to, you can bring her in." So she did. She brought little Ellie in. He took an x-ray. No penny. But what he found was a funny shaped thing further up. And as he looked at the x-ray longer and longer, he said, "We need to do a biopsy." And in that x-ray, where they were looking for the penny, they found a tumor on this little four-year-old spine that was growing and would very soon would have choked off her spinal column and left her paralyzed. In addition, it was growing so fast that it was growing toward and starting to go around her heart, which would have left it inoperable. They were able to surgically remove the entire thing. It was benign. Even though it was growing quickly, they were able to keep it confined. She had no chemo, no radiation, and she's fine today. But I can't help but think that that penny was heaven sent. Today I'm going to talk about three areas in which we can see the way it works. First is the way it works with money and employment. The second way is the way it works with relationships. And the third way is the way it works in our body. The way it works with money and employment. Are we focusing on what we don't have or on what we want in order to be whole? So many times we focus on the negative. We focus on what we don't have. So what do we produce? More of what we don't have. Is going to work each day for you a drudge? Is it a burden? Or are you going to work every day glad that you can be of service to your fellow man? I've told this next story before, but I told it from the perspective of a furnace repairman. This time I'm telling the story from the perspective of the young lady. It was a young lady, was Atlanta, Georgia, 2014, 3 years and about 2 weeks ago. No, 2 weeks shy of 3 years ago, the end of January 2014, call it snowpocalypse. Atlanta got 3 inches of snow and they were just totally. And a young lady, she and her husband had recently moved to Atlanta. He was in the service. They knew that he was going to be deployed. She was with child and due just about the same time he was supposed to leave. So they were hopeful that she would have the baby before he had to leave. But it didn't work out that way. And then he was deployed, and just a few days later, she had the baby. She went home. They don't keep them in the hospital long at all these days. And she went home right away, and the next day, snowpocalypse hit Atlanta. Her house dropped in temperature. She's there by herself. She had no family, no friends, nothing. And the temperature in her house kept going down. She tried everything she could to get the furnace going. She couldn't get the furnace going. She started calling, repairmen. Everybody in Atlanta was calling repairmen, and they were only doing the emergencies, and they were only doing emergencies for their existing customers, which of course she wasn't. She couldn't even get anybody to come out and look at her furnace. House was getting colder and colder. She turned to prayer. And all she did is open up to God's grace and say, God, my baby and I need heat. Please help us. And as soon as she finished this very simple prayer, doorbell rang. She opened the door and she said, can I help you? And he says, yes, I'm here to repair your furnace. She said, what? Yeah, I'm here to repair your furnace. She thought, wow. He came in, he took the temperature, it was 27 degrees inside of her house. Same temperature it was outside. And she had that little three-day-old baby in a sling next to her, underneath her parka, trying to keep it warm. Well, he went back and he cleaned the igniter, he did a few things, he made a few small repairs, it was 15, 20 minutes worth of work, and woof, all of a sudden, nice warm air started coming out of the furnace. And she was so grateful. She was also very, very much afraid of what this may cost. She said, what is the cost for this going to be? And he looked in his paperwork and he said, well, it's no charge. It's still under warranty. Thank you very much. And if you remember the story when I told it from this viewpoint of the repairman, he was from Alaska. And he was prepared. He had salt. He had he shoveled her walks. He sprinkled some salt. It was no big deal to him. He got back in his van and radio came on and it was the owner saying, that guy at 2002 is really miffed. He's wondering when you're going to get there. He looked down and well, I was just at 2002. He looked at the mailbox, 2002. Wait a minute. He went over, brushed the snow off. The snow had covered and turned the eights into zeros. He was at 2882. I thought, oh, I'm in trouble now. So he went up the street a short distance to 2002. He went in. Somebody had bumped the electrical switch and it turned the power off to their furnace. He looked at it, flipped the switch, boom, up came Keith. The man thanked him profusely. He got back in his van and started to head out, and he slowed down as he got near 2882, and he was gonna report it, and he thought, you know, I think we'll just leave it alone. But you see, that young lady with that baby didn't demand that God bring her heat, didn't demand that God bring her anything, that God do anything for her. She just stayed open to her highest good. She just stayed open to whatever God, Spirit, the thing itself, divine intelligence, whatever name you assign to it, could do for her, with her, through her. Ernest Holmes wrote, we take the good wherever we can find it, making it our own insofar as we understand it. The realization that good is universal and that as much good as any individual is able to incorporate into his life is his to use is what constitutes the science of mind and spirit. As much good as any individual is able to incorporate into his life is his to use, is what constitutes the science of mind and spirit. Got several stories here dealing with prayer. Reminds me of the story of a little old lady, lived by herself. She woke up in the middle of the night one night and went to the kitchen to get a glass of water and discovered a burglar in her kitchen. She was terrified. She didn't know what to do. There's this big burglar going through her drawers. She stood behind him. She didn't know what to do. She couldn't even think of a prayer to say. All she could think of was a Bible verse, and she couldn't even repeat it, but she knew what it was, and she just said, Acts 2:38. And with that, the burglar froze in his steps, didn't even move. Gave her a moment. She quick dialed on her phone, 911. The police were there in a matter of moments. And as they led this burglar away, handcuffed, the policeman said, what in the world caused you to freeze just at the mention of a Bible verse? And he said, Bible verse? That mean old lady told me she had an axe and 2.38s. It's in how we look at it. It's all from our perspective. We need to be open to the highest good.
Oh, dear.
So the way it works with relationships, do we see the good, God, in all people? Just like the song. Or am I judging based on unimportant things like money and looks? A man in Texas a few years ago died in extreme poverty. He had virtually nothing. And he had no relatives or close people at all. Finally, the authorities did find some distant remote relatives, and they came and looked over, you know, attended the funeral and whatnot, and went to his very, very meager apartment. He had very, very few belongings. The only thing he had a kind of an old ratty painting, and they thought that perhaps the frame might be worth something. So they took this painting and they put it in a garage sale. I think they put it on, you know, for sale for $35, and guy came in and offered him $25, so they took the $25 and let it go. Well, the guy that got the painting got to looking at it, and he started paying closer and closer attention to it. And he thought, maybe he better have this thing checked out. And he took it to a dealer who got out his magnifying glass and looked at all of the brush strokes and everything so carefully. And he looked it over carefully. This thing had been painted almost 200 years earlier and was the early, early works of a master. It sold at auction a few weeks later for over $3 million. Now, before you all rush home and look at your old paintings,
I don't have to worry about it.
The point of this story is that each and every one of us, every one of us, has been painted by the Master. Each one of us has the brushstrokes of God. And even though we may judge some to be different, or they have different politics, or they have different beliefs, they are different from us. Those are our judgments. The fact is that each and every one of us has been painted with the paintbrush of the divine. Every single person is an expression of God. And that is the thing that we need to remember. Lastly, the way it works for the body. Miracles are happening within our bodies all the time, every second of every day of every year. Things like cell division, and I've talked about that before. How do they know? How does a cell know to divide to be a thumbnail instead of a nose? Digestion, the fact that the complexity of digestion, that we can take food into our body, break it down, assimilate it, use it for energy. Amazing. Respiration, just the very fact that this heart of ours can beat and pass blood throughout our body, send it to the lungs where it can get oxygen and send oxygen and food to muscles, is an amazing, incredible miracle. Hearing. Some of us were better than that than others. Growth. How does our body know to grow? Yes, we know there's growth hormones. We know all of that kind of stuff. But how do we know? How does it know when to stop? Sight. Once again, some of us have better sight than others. But the miracle of sight. Just even the fact that we know that the images that we see are upside down in our retina, in our brain, yet our brain is able to turn it back right side up and know that just that in itself is enough. So with all of these miracles that are happening with and for us every day, what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on those miracles, or are we focusing on our pain? And even when we do have pain, do we stop to think, is this pain telling me something? Is this pain teaching me something? Is this pain my truth? Once again, Ernest Holmes said, "In our ignorance of the truth, we have misused the highest power that we possess. And so great is this power, so complete is our freedom in it, so absolute the domain of law through it, that the misuse of this power has brought upon us the very conditions from which we suffer." Which I think is kind of a complex way of saying that we tend to focus on what we don't have. We tend to focus on that which we don't want. We have the pain, we focus on the pain, we think about the pain, we don't think about what the message the pain is giving us. We don't focus on what the good can be out of that. A lady by the name of Rhonda Neal in Dansbury, Connecticut, at age 38, woke up one morning in excruciating pain. Her knuckles, her knees, her hips. She couldn't even get out of bed. That first day, she had to have her husband dress her. She had to have her little 8-year-old daughter brush her hair. She couldn't even move. She, of course, couldn't go to work. She got into the doctor's. The doctor ran some tests, asked about her history, found out that she had a history of lupus in her family, and he had diagnosed her with rheumatoid arthritis, knowing that this condition is similar to and can be confused with lupus. She was crippled. She could do nothing. She went to the doctors. She got powerful, powerful pain medications. She didn't want to get addicted. She fought. For months, she couldn't even go to work. Finally, she ended up on a regimen of aloe and some pain meds. And she kept taking aloe. And she slowly, slowly started to get better. She kept up her prayers. She kept taking her aloe. Finally, she got to the place where the only thing that she was taking was one aloe pill a day. She was able to go back to work. She resumed her life. She was an avid tennis player. She was athletic. She was outdoors. She could go back to doing everything she had done before except tennis. 3 years of remission. And then one morning, she woke up, and again, she was totally crippled. Her knuckles were 3 times their normal size. She couldn't bend her knees. She prayed to God. She demanded to know why this was happening to her. Why? She had done so much. She had been well for so long, 3 years of remission, and now back with a vengeance. Her daughter, by now she was 12, came into her room on a Saturday night and said, "Mom, are you going to go to church with us tomorrow?" She didn't want to go, but she said, "Yes, dear, I'll go with you." So with crutches and a walking boot, she was able to get in and sit down in the church. And as the pastor began to talk, he talked about being open to that which God can do for us. Rather than us telling God what to do, we should be open to what God can do for us. And what came to her was a realization, and this is what she wrote about it later. "Was it time for me to stop telling God what to do and allow him to do his will? To stop resisting RA with every fiber of my being and learn to live with it." She had been offered a very powerful treatment. She did not want to take it because it could lead to suppression of the immune system. Rates of cancer for people that took this drug were much, much higher. And she had resisted taking it, but she went in the next day and said she was ready for it. Immediately, she started to get better. Today, she's back to playing tennis. She's fully active. She's totally in remission from rheumatoid arthritis. It's in remission, and she is aware of that. And this is what she wrote. "Yes, I will always have rheumatoid arthritis, but now it no longer has me." Eckhart Tolle wrote, "Accept, then act. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. Always work with it, not against it. And so we can do that. Whatever the present moment has brought, accept it and work with it and not against it. So once again, the conclusion for today, you can change your thinking by the use of affirmations. If you don't know what those are, we've got a foundations class. It's going to be going really soon. They're positive, personal, powerful, and present tense. Use of affirmations. Avoid negative self-talk. Know that the divine brushstrokes that are on everyone else are on you too. You too are that divine child of God. And allow God to work through you. And so it is with our awareness of this that we go into prayer. And so I speak my word this morning for each and every person who is experiencing the effects of lack and limitation, or the effects of dis-ease, or the effects of separation. Separation from God, separation from one another, of relationships. And I speak my word for each of those people who are facing any type of challenge of that nature by fully knowing, affirming, and accepting the absolute truth, which is that there is a blueprint of perfection within each and every cell of our bodies. And it is that blueprint that I call forth. By knowing that we live in an abundant universe, a universe that is so vast, so abundant, we can't even get our finite minds around it. And by knowing that we are beings of love, as expressions of God, we are expressions of God's love. And so every relationship, whether it be romantic relationships, family relationships, work relationships, it's all the same because it's all the very love of God. And I know that each one of these relationships is that expression of God. As we step back and we quit trying to dictate to God what to do, and we allow that divine current, that infinite intelligence, that divine creative force to move through us, that our prayers are answered, that our good is before us, and we accept it. So I just give thanks. I give thanks for this awareness. And I release these words, the working of law. I let it go. I let it be. And so it is.
Yes, it is.